It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the All Things Gymnastics Podcast. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Brittany.
And this is the podcast where we talk about all things gymnastics. And this week, we are recapping all of the action from week 5 of the 2024 NCAA season. It feels like the tide is turning a little bit. We've got Cal, they remain number 2 nationally, and it's kind of given Oklahoma a run for their money. Kentucky beat Alabama at Bama for the first time ever in program history. Michigan State beat Michigan for the second consecutive year in the regular season, and is now the top-ranked Big Ten team. So we discuss all of that and more. So stick around.
Okay, so week 5 is complete, and we're super excited to jump into all the action from this week. But first, we want to start by giving a little disclaimer. Ashley has been sick the past several days, and may or may not sound like she's plugging her nose when she speaks.
Not even that. At this point, I think my voice just sounds weird. Like, it sounds raspy. I do feel like
you sound, like, better today than
I do. This is definitely the best that I felt in the last, I don't even know how many days. So, feeling a tiny bit better, but definitely still sick. So,
but we wanted to put out an episode for you guys because we did not have one last week. And a lot happened. So, just wanted to acknowledge that in case Ashley seems, like, low energy and or sounds sick to you. It's because she is.
It's because I am both.
And she's doing better today, though, so fingers crossed she's on the mend.
So we'll start with the first meet that we watched on Friday night, and that was Florida at Georgia. And
a meet that was closer than I think most people predicted.
I'm not going to lie. I definitely was rooting for a Georgia upset here. I thought that would have been really exciting.
We love a good upset.
Didn't end up happening, but like you said, I think closer than probably anybody would have anticipated.
Yeah. So both Florida and Georgia came away with season highs at this meet. Florida on top with a 197.425 to Georgia's 197.3. So only a tenth and a quarter difference there.
And it was close throughout. It wasn't one of those meets where, like, you know, one team was leading by several tenths and then it came down to the last event and then someone tanked and, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it was pretty close.
From behind. Like, they actually kept it close throughout, which I think speaks to the potential of Georgia. They're a team that, honestly, they're always a ride, but I feel like this season in particular, we had a lot of high, well, I don't want to say high expectations, but we had a lot of high hopes for them, I guess.
Well, higher expectations.
They have an amazing freshman class, and within the first week or two of season, so many people on their team, their leadership with Haley Dion and Vanessa Denise, and then Naya Howard, some of the freshmen have been out. So it kind of got a little bit sketchy there for a second, but I feel like slowly but surely, we're seeing more faces coming back into the lineup. And they seem to be overall a little bit more confident this season, which is like a massive improvement for anybody who's followed Georgia gymnastics the past like 10 years.
I will say that the vibes definitely feel a little bit different, but like different in a good way this year as opposed to the last couple of years.
And we don't want to speak too soon because we do recognize that like there is a lot of season that has to happen soon.
Oh, for sure. Like, I'm not sitting here trying to say that Georgia is going to win the SEC championships or even it is even going to make it into the evening session. Like, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that, like, it's been a rough ride for Georgia the last couple of years. We all know that. And
we're acknowledging the little baby steps that we've seen.
I think despite the injuries they've had and despite losing, you know, their leader, Haley Dion, and so many people to injury, I think they still look pretty good. Despite all of that?
Yeah, we're seeing several 10-0 start value options for them on vault. Granted, they haven't quite figured out the landings yet, but definitely helping to increase their scoring potential on that event. Bars has been a phenomenal event for them this season.
Yeah, they went 49-5 at this meet against Florida. And then Beam, I've been impressed with Beam. I mean, I remember for so many years, it felt like every time I watched Georgia on Beam, it was like fall after fall after fall after fall. And now they're doing a much better job of actually staying on the beam.
In fact, they're one of the few teams this season that hasn't had a fall, not just on beam, but like in general, they are one of the few remaining teams that has not had a fall, which is like, well, I should say has not counted a fall, to be clear. Most teams have had falls. I would say almost every team but Oklahoma and Cal, maybe. No, Cal has, I think. Either way, I'm saying, like, they haven't counted a fall.
Yeah. Impressive.
Very impressive. And then floor is kind of, you know, average, I would say. Not, like, super great, but not horrible either. It's just kind of, like, Georgia floor. Which is good news for them.
Yeah, and I think something that's going to be key for Georgia throughout the remainder of the season is getting Nia Howard back. So we still don't know what her injury was. We just knew that she was in a knee brace, and we were all kind of just like speculating on what we thought it was, but no one really knew for sure.
Well, it was a knee brace and then also the crutches.
Yeah, so we were thinking season-ending injury or something, and she's been posting videos of her on Instagram, but I never knew if it was like an old video or if it was recent.
Because she's one of those athletes that posts a lot. Like,
yeah.
Even leading up to season, like, she's one of those people that every single day has a video of herself doing something on her story. So you do not, you know, always know if it's current or past.
But she was back on bars and she nailed it. And then I think the day of the competition, she had posted a video as well on her Instagram story of her on Beam. So, you know, I think that having her back, even just on those two events, is going to be a big boost for Georgia. And they also had Holly Snyder back on the lineup on bars, and she got a 9.9.
Yeah, so she was in the lineup last week as well, but second meet out, 9.9.
Things are looking up.
Yes.
What did you think about Florida?
Yeah, so Florida, I think they had a good meet. It wasn't great, but it wasn't, like, horrible either. Like I mentioned right off the top, a season high for them as well, so a lot of highlights, and then also some areas where they're still going to be looking to improve as they go forward.
Brittany and I were talking as we were watching the meet that Florida's energy seemed a little bit low at this competition.
Yeah, because I don't know if I feel that way, like, in general about them. Like,
no.
I've watched every meet of theirs, I think maybe besides the first meet, and I don't think I felt that way before, but something about this meet, like, it did seem very, like, low energy, but we were joking that Georgia has, like, despite, like, their legacy and the big fan base that they have, they kind of have, like, a low-energy crowd.
For sure. Like, everybody looks like they would rather be everywhere else but there.
And so you do kind of wonder, like, what impact that could have. I'm not saying that that is anything, but, like,
it was just funny.
It's just, like, a funny thought, I guess. Like,
it just felt like everyone was asleep.
It's like Georgia, like, sucking the life out of everybody.
Yeah.
But I also think with Florida, you have to consider the fact that they've lost a lot of leadership on their team with Trinity Thomas and Kayla DiCello. Not only big scoring potential, but leadership-wise, energy-wise, what those two athletes were able to bring to that team. So that's not easy to replace. Score-wise, and again, like I said, just in terms of leadership, they have some gaps that they've had to fill and are relying a lot on freshmen and some new faces in their lineups, people having to step up.
And it doesn't help, too, when, you know, people that you would consider to be more of, like, the veterans of your team do have mistakes. People like Leanne Juan, who's normally very consistent, can bring in 9.9 plus scores on every single event.
Yeah, she, you know, fell on beam here.
Yeah, she fell on her beam mount, which was...
No, dismount.
Was this not the week where she split the beam on the mount?
No, she did it on... Was it her mount?
Yeah, she split the beam on her mount.
No, you might be right. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was the mount that scared the crap out of me, because you didn't expect her to do that.
Honestly, so much has happened since Friday. It's hard to remember every little detail. But either way, she did fall. So there's that.
And then Sloane Blakely had an off meet. Lots of mistakes, like, you know, flying forward on landings.
And she has the potential to go big. And so, like you said, I think when you're already losing a lot and then the people that you normally it would be counting on to go 9.9 plus make a mistake, it makes it that much more challenging. So I think Florida's still finding their groove. I think they still need a couple weeks to kind of iron out some of these details. We're about, I think, 2 weeks away from the midpoint of the season, roughly. So I'm not worried about them yet. I think that they still have a lot of potential. I think someone like Anya Pilgrim has been doing amazing for them. And some of the freshmen, like Danny Ferris, she has not hit her full potential, like, at all. She's not even close. Like, there is still a lot of room for her to make a big impact.
Yeah, I think coming into the season, she in particular was somebody that you expected to come in and have such a huge impact on the lineups, on several lineups right away.
But she's also somebody that hasn't competed in a long time because she was injured her senior year of level 10, and then she had that weird little, like, wrist injury right before season. So just little things that I think right now are kind of impacting them that they hope probably will be sorted out by, you know, middle to postseason at the latest, ideally. So yeah, like I said, I think that there's still a lot of room for this Florida team to grow, but I still see them in the mix.
But something to note, though, is that their score has continued to improve each and every week.
Yeah. So they're not going out there and posting, you know, the biggest scores in the nation. They're not getting 198s or even high 197s at this point in time. But like you said, every single week they've gotten a little bit better, and that's reflected in their score. So they're cooking. Moving on to Oregon State at Utah. Utah came out on top with a 197-75. Oregon State with a 196-1. This was our first time watching Oregon State this season. Honestly, I don't really have too much to say, like, good or bad. It was kind of just like, they were just there for me.
Well, and also it was hard because we were watching like 20,000 meets at the same time.
We were.
Like, I got to be completely honest with you. I feel like I didn't actually really watch a single Oregon State routine.
You're like, I have no memory of this meet.
Not really. I remember like bits and pieces of Utah, but that's about it.
Yeah. So, I mean, they started out pretty strong on bars and vault. Floor, they had a count of fall, so that was not good for them. Also, we all know that at this point in time, Jade Carey is only doing bars and beam for them. So vault and floor, they're missing like that big wow factor at the end of those lineups that can bring in a 10.
Right. They're missing their 10 at the end of every lineup,
which is not helpful. So there's that. And then beam was just all right. Like, I feel like it wasn't good nor bad. It was just kind of like they existed on beam.
They existed.
So a 196-1 for them. And then Utah, I feel like this 197-75 was a bit generous, in my opinion. Like, they got a 49.525 on vault, but when I was watching it, I kind of felt like their vault landings were a little bit all over the place. Like, they had, I think it was Winger and then Ashley Glenn, who, like, over-rotated their vault, had too much power and had a big step forward. Zerby's, like, under-rotated it and had a step. And then Jaden got a 9.975 for a vault that had, like, a tiny little, like, micro-hop forward.
She was, like, trying to hold the stick, and then she couldn't.
It was weird, because she technically, like, did stick it, but she didn't hold it, and then she took a small hop forward.
It was like she was fighting for her life to try and stick, like, hold the stick. Yeah. But she couldn't because she had a little bit too much momentum, so she ended up taking a hop forward.
Right. So, like, not a bad vault by any means, but not a 9.975.
Like, if you were looking at the vault and then, you know, a millisecond later look down, you would probably see the fact that she hopped.
Or it's one of those things where you could do like a quick little edit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like cut it out and pretend like it never happened.
Like, Utah could post that on their social media and just clip the ending and it would look like she stuck it.
Yeah. 100%. So yeah, I feel like when you watch that vault rotation without knowing what any of the scores were, you would not watch that and think that was a 49.5 plus vault rotation.
Yeah.
But it was for them. So
bars was a weaker rotation for them. They put up a 49.15. They had Alani Sabado, who went up and scored a 9.775. That counted because Zerby's foul. She's been a little bit inconsistent on bars.
Yeah. I don't remember exactly off the top of my head where her scores have been, but I know that she's had three falls and then she's had like a 9.825-ish type score. So she has not really had the scores I think they were expecting her
and
to
it's
have.
A shame because she has such a beautiful technique that if she hits a routine, she's definitely capable of going over 9.9,
right?
But just hasn't quite done that yet.
And I would imagine that if she's still in the lineup, they're seeing something in the gym that is worthy of still being in that lineup.
That,
you know what I mean,
they're like, just looking at the potential maybe.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do with that, if they make any changes to her routine, if she stays in, because so far she's been missing the mark for them on that event. And then Miley kind of had an uncharacteristic mistake as well. I didn't quite see what happened. Like, I saw her routine, but it was one of those things where I like looked away for a split second, and then I saw her hop forward on her dismount, and then her score came in at a 9.675, and I was like, what happened? And I haven't gone back and watched the routine again, but people on X were saying that she messed up a pirouette. So there was some error in her routine that I didn't catch. And like I said, she went 9.675. So they had to count that as well as the 9.775 from Alani Sabado. So just not what we typically see from them on that event. And then beam, they went 49.525, which again, similar to vault, I felt that was a bit generous. It wasn't a bad beam rotation, but they haven't been as perfect as they were last year and even the year prior. There were several routines that had just like little tiny checks, little things, you know, movements of feet on the dismount that would go like 9.925 when it was really like a 9.85 or like maybe a 9.9, like maybe. So there were several routines that were like that I felt like allowed them to go over 49.5 when it really didn't feel like a 49.5 plus rotation.
Yeah.
And then floor was solid. 49.55.
Yeah. I would say I think floor was probably the highlight, at least for me, in my opinion. Floor was definitely the highlight for Utah. Although Jaden Rucker, she's been struggling on floor.
Yeah. For the second week in a row, she's fallen. So And then last week, she had a mistake on Vol. Obviously, this week, she went 9975. So she's been a little bit off so far at the start of her fifth year. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we see that, honestly. Some of these fifth-year athletes, like, they have, like, their bright moments. But a lot of them, I find, actually struggle a bit.
Yeah.
To kind of, like, get their footing again. So it's been interesting to see.
That is, even, like, from last year, I'm thinking, too, that is kind of a common theme, I feel like, with fifth years.
It is. You know, you go your whole career performing to a certain level, and then they get to that fifth year, and you kind of, like,
see just a little bit how physically or mentally even tired they can be. And that's not anything, like, specific to Jaden. I kind of just feel like this is a general observation that I've had with a lot of fifth years throughout the last 3 years. That, like, they aren't always, like, as 100% strong as they were throughout, like, the rest of their career. And then I also think with Utah, like, they had everything that happened in the off season and having, like, a last minute coaching change and a lot of eyes on them. I'm sure that adds an element of pressure and requires, like, some level of mental toughness to be able to kind of, like, block everything out and, like, focus on the team and, like, do what they need to do and really what they're capable of doing. So I feel like they're really going to need some of their leaders to, like, really step it up if this team actually wants to, you know, be competitive for the Pac-12 title and be competitive in postseason competition. Because there's a lot of teams that are looking really, really good right now, particularly Cal, who is in the same conference as them. So, yeah. And Utah, I think the past several seasons have been used to, like, I don't want to say dominating, but, like, UCLA has been off the last couple of seasons, so I think Utah has gotten away with just being, like, the best team, honestly, regardless of how their performance was. I mean, they still had a hit, but, like, they could not be perfect, and they were still going to be the best team in the Pac-12. But now with Cal really stepping it up and being the second-ranked team in the nation and really, like, holding to that.
Yeah, so they're holding strong in second.
They are going to put pressure on Utah on top of everything else, so.
Speaking of Cal, they competed with Oklahoma at Arizona State over the weekend. And it was a good meet. We only saw bits and pieces of it because of the stream. It was one of those streams where they would be starting to watch an Oklahoma-Florida team, and then they'd dart over to Vol because Arizona State was going, and they were showing all of the Arizona State routines.
So we missed a lot. So yeah. It's kind of hard to, like, really get the full picture of how everybody looked. But, I mean, based off the scores, which we all know doesn't always mean the right thing, but Oklahoma was on top with a 198.375, Cal with a 197.95, so holding their own for sure, and then Arizona State with a 197.25. So I mentioned Cal kind of holding their own in this meet. They were actually leading at the halfway point by 0.2, but then Oklahoma said hell no and went 49.825 on bars, which tied their program record on that event, as well as the NCAA bars record.
Oklahoma has a tendency to, if they are a little bit off in a meet, realize that they're a little bit off in the meet and then be like, hell no.
And they kick it into high gear. They are always, like, my number one go-to example for, like, this is how you're supposed to compete. Because, like you said, I think they can be even just slightly off at times. And whatever events they have remaining, they go into, like, hell no mode, and they put themselves back on top. So it's remarkable the way that they have been able to do that throughout the years. I also want to shout out Jordan Bowers on bars. The first 10 for Oklahoma this season, which is actually wild with the number of 10s we've seen and the fact that Oklahoma hasn't gotten any of them.
The fact that
scoring the highest.
The fact, like, that the MAC conference, the fact that Ball State has more 10s than Oklahoma.
Yeah, like, it's been a wild season so far. But anyways, yeah, so, like, shout out to them for that. And then I want to mention Vol. So they went 49.25 this week, but also last week as well, which is interesting because, well, 49.25 for most teams would be, like, a solid day. I mean, maybe a little bit low for some teams, but, like, you know what I mean? Like, 49.25 is, like, okay, like,
yeah, I think good. I think it depends on the team, but
49.25 is not bad. It's, like, you just did okay.
It was, like, you existed.
You existed. And that's always a great thing. But for Oklahoma, it's like catastrophe. Like, for Oklahoma, a 49.2 or a 49.25 feels like a mid-48. Like, everyone asks what happened to Oklahoma, but it's like you wouldn't be asking that if, like, most teams got that score. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it feels like a disaster.
But it's not. I think they've had some issues. And again, I haven't fully seen every single vault from the past 2 weeks just because Oklahoma is so difficult to watch. But from what I've gathered, from what people who have watched the meets have said and the few clips that I've seen, seems like they've just been having some, like, under-rotated vaults. Like, Hannah Shibley, I don't know, is it Shibley or Scheibel?
I think it's Shibley.
I thought it was Shibley, but now I'm hearing different. But so anyways, until we get that right, we're going to continue saying Shibley. She was like a stick machine the first couple of weeks. And then the last 2 weeks, she's been really short and had her chest down and scored like a 9.6 or like a 9.7 something both weeks. Jordan Bowers under-rotated this week, took a step back. So just things like that, that we haven't really seen, I think, their full potential yet on that event.
But still, I feel like Miles better than anyone else in general.
Well, and it's the fact they can go 1-8-3-7-5 with that
49-2-5 or whatever.
Yeah, I was trying to find, I'm like, where did it go? The 49-2-5 on vault. The fact that they're going 1-8-3-7-5 with that score just shows you how good they are. So again, kind of the same thing we say every week about Oklahoma, but they're continuing to kill it, really separating themselves from the rest of the pack, even more so than they maybe already have. And then Cal, unfortunately, like I said, don't have much to say about them this week just because I didn't really see much of them, but a 1.9795, an amazing score. The fact that they led Oklahoma after two events should give them a massive boost of confidence if they aren't already extremely confident, because they're looking amazing this season.
They should be very, very happy with how they're performing this season. And hopefully that's the confidence boost that they need to not only make it to NCAA championships and, you know, make it to the Final Four, but actually have a really strong possibility of contending for the title.
Yeah, I think that they have really solidified themselves as the second best team behind Oklahoma. And then I think from there, there's more of a significant drop off. You know what I mean? Like, it's Oklahoma, and there's a little bit of a gap between Oklahoma and Cal. And then I think even from Cal to every other team, there's still a little bit of a drop off.
Which is definitely not what I expected coming into the season. Like, I didn't have that. I knew Cal was going to be good this season, but I didn't have them being solidified as the second team on my bingo card.
Like, consistently the number two team. It's not just like one or 2 weeks and they're still up there. Like, we're talking through 5 weeks, they are strongly in second and only looking better and more confident as the weeks go on. So very, very excited to watch them this season continue to push those boundaries and really push Oklahoma and put pressure on them, because I think that's what Oklahoma needs. It gets boring when the same team is always like destroying everybody. We love potential upsets and, you know, teams kind of like pushing that envelope a little bit.
So Arkansas at LSU.
The LSU judges are in the doghouse after this one. It was a good meet for LSU, and I actually feel really bad because I think that got overshadowed by some of the overscoring we saw.
Yeah, like, it was a good meet on its own without the excessive overscoring.
And I feel like we didn't talk about, and I say we as, like, the Gym Trinette as a collective, like, we weren't talking about how good LSU actually looked and how many improvements they made from the previous week, where they lost to Mizzou. Instead, we were all just talking about, like, how ridiculously overscored it was. And I think that even with the overscoring, like, they still looked really, really good. I probably would have had them at, like, a high 197 type score. Obviously, I would need to rescore that. But just, you know, doing the mental math in my head, which is what I usually do when I watch gymnastics, I score it in my head and then I see how accurate it is with the real judges. I found that most routines, I would have a half tenth, and in some cases, a tenth lower. Yeah. Than what they actually scored. So I think that would have put them somewhere in like the high 197
that
range.
That one would be a fun one to go back and rescore, honestly.
Yeah, maybe we'll do it. I'm not going to sign up for anything though because we've been busy. But
so LSU came out on top with a program record 198.475, which also is the highest score of the entire season out of any team in the entire country, to Arkansas's 196.2.
Which is actually a good score considering that they opened up counting a fall on bars. And they really rallied, I feel like, after that. That's one of the biggest things I've noticed about Arkansas this season is in years past, I feel like when they made a mistake, they would kind of start to like spiral a little bit. And I feel like they've done a better job at like stopping the bleeding this year. This is the first time this season they've had a count a fall, unfortunately. So I mentioned with Georgia, you know, there's very few teams that have not counted a fall this season. And Arkansas was one of them until unfortunately now. So they are no longer in that club, but I still think they'll be happy with that 1.962. And like I said, I think how they rallied despite that. Some of the highlights for them, I think Lauren Williams, 9.925 on floor. She's always a highlight. Frankie Price, I believe, got a 9.9. I don't have it written down, but I believe I remember seeing the 9.9. She's also usually a highlight for them. Priscilla Park on beam got a 9.975. And she did that while the crowd was going wild for Haley Bryant on floor getting a 10.
Which is not an easy thing to do, especially with a crowd as big as LSU's is.
And she's a freshman. Yeah. And she is second to last in the beam lineup. And You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I just think that that's a difficult place to be in.
Yeah.
And she was so composed.
Yeah, it's a great composure, for sure.
Which is great for Arkansas's future. They've had amazing recruiting, and to see some of their freshmen doing as well as they are is a really good sign for them for the future. Arkansas has been in the top 10 so far through week five. Unfortunately, now because they have this low 196 score, they're going to drop out of the top 10, at least until NQS kicks in. So that score is going to stick with them for a couple weeks.
But that, honestly, I kind of didn't really envision them being in the top 10, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
Definitely a good team that has a lot of potential and is continuing to just get better and better at, like, every single year. But I think when every team is hitting at their best and the rankings really start to take shape with NQS, I didn't really see Arkansas. I said Arkansas weird.
Yeah.
I didn't really see Arkansas being in the top 10 anyways.
And I think that's because despite how well they've been doing and how solid some of their scores have been, I feel like they are kind of more at their peak already. Like, I feel like they're doing pretty much what they're capable of doing. Of course, obviously, minus a little, you know, a couple things here and there. Like, I'm sure they can get more stuck landings and, you know, whatnot. But I feel like they have been closer to their peak already. And a lot of these other teams, in fact, I would say most of these teams are not near their peak. So that's, I think, where it'll be interesting is Arkansas has to maintain that level that they're scoring at, whereas a lot of these other teams have a lot of room to build and gain several tenths. So I think that will be interesting to see where they fall in the end because, yeah, top 10 for them through 5 weeks has been amazing, but we kind of knew it was going to be a challenge for them to actually maintain that.
Yeah. For LSU, I feel like we said, they looked great at this meet despite the judges feeling like they had to help them out, like, abundantly.
No, I think from Missouri the week prior, they really did a 180. Like, I was not mad at all with the performance that we saw from them. And they started out with a really long delay. I think it took an hour for the first rotation to even conclude, which is like, you're usually done with two events by that point in time.
Yeah, ridiculous.
After KJ vaulted, there was an issue with something with the vault table. Honestly, I'm still not really sure what the issue was, but it took a while for them to fix it. And then Arkansas had a scoring discrepancy on bars, which also held things up. So in total, it was, like I said, close to an hour that it took for that first rotation to actually conclude. So a lot of standing around. And LSU didn't really seem fazed by that. Bars was solid. They didn't quite get as many landings as I'm sure they wanted, but not bad. Beam, I think, is what I was most impressed with. Sierra Ballard has been a phenomenal leadoff for them. I've been really impressed with her this season on floor, but Beam as well.
Yeah, she's so solid. Somebody that, honestly, with all the depth that LSU has, I definitely did not see her consistently in that Beam lineup.
Making two lineups and scoring, like, well in those two spots.
Yeah.
Like, she's been pretty consistent, so.
And that was one of maybe the best Beam routines I've seen her do. She looked great.
Yeah. And then Connor McLean is also somebody that I've been really impressed with. I think that every week we see her confidence grow. And
she looks like she's settling into college gymnastics a little bit more.
She's having a little bit more fun. She's, like, owning her gymnastics a little bit. Still not 100% perfect, which is funny given how many, like, 9.975s and 10s she's gotten. She got a 10 on Beam last week. Obviously, we didn't record, so we didn't mention that. But this week, she got a 9.975 on Beam and floor, which we'll talk about that in a second. But really capable of big things when she hits, as we're seeing, because her execution and technique is just so flawless. Like, her handstands on bars, there are no deductions on that. Yeah, like, she has the most perfect handstands.
Exactly what it should look like.
And so then it's just a matter of, you know, how close is she catching her release? Does she stick the dismount? Things that she is very capable of doing at a high level, clearly. So she is just going to be an absolute force for them in the years to come. And I think I wasn't expecting much from her this season because of, you know, all the injuries that she's had and, you know, kind of taking a step back from Elite. And we just didn't know what to expect from Connor. But I've been pleasantly surprised at not only how much she's contributing, but how well she's doing.
Yeah, she's exceeded expectations, in my opinion.
So we mentioned the scoring at this meet being high. A couple scores that I wanted to point out that I think particularly felt egregious. Haley Bryant on vault, she got a 9.975 with a very obvious lean back. You know, there's that deduction now for lack of control. If you don't hold your salute position, your finish position for one full second, the judges should be taking a half tenth deduction for that. And some schools were seeing the deductions taken, and
a lot of the schools were not, mm-hmm. LSU being one of them, like the biggest culprit, I think, of it so far this season. Haley Bryant is amazing on vol, but like that was not a 10. You know, 9.95 I would have been okay with.
Connor on uneven bars, you mentioned, like the perfect technique in the handstands. The biggest deductions come from, you know, where she's catching the release moves. She was a little bit close on the church and the pack at this meet. Also had to step back on the dismount, which again, it also does not hold that finish position for 1 second. So there really is several places in this routine that you can take a deduction, but she ended up with a 9.925.
Yeah. For a routine that I probably would have gone like, well, it depends on how strict you want to be, but like 9.85 probably. Yeah, that's at the highest.
That's what I was thinking, 9.85.
Like 9.825, 9.85, somewhere in there. On beam, I felt like Connor's 9.975 was not accurate given that she had a wobble on her full turn. Otherwise, a great routine, but again, not a 9.875 because that would mean that one judge said it was perfect and she had an obvious wobble. Aaliyah Finnegan with a 9.9, she had, you could say, a tenth, maybe a tenth and a half wobble on beam alone. So they're saying that the routine was virtually flawless. Not virtually flawless. They're saying it was flawless. And they only took a tenth for that wobble. I probably would have had like a tenth and a half on that.
Yeah, depending on how harsh you want to be, you could probably even go 2/10.
Like she fully lifted her leg up and like leaned to the side. So I thought 9.9 was generous on that. And then also, unfortunately, poor Connor and Aaliyah, I also had them on floor as the most overscored routines. Connor got another 9.975. I think she lacked a little bit of control on her last pass. Otherwise, a good routine. Again, I'm not saying these are like bad routines. I'm just saying that the judges are going 9.975 when there are deductions. And then Aaliyah, she got a 9.925 with a first pass that was over-rotated, and she disguised it well.
Well, so the way you can tell with her the Arabian double front to the stag jump is that the jump should really, if you're landing perfectly, go straight up in the air as opposed to going out. And she went flying outward, which tells you that she has too much momentum going forward, meaning she over-rotated it. And if she didn't do that leap, it would have been an uncontrolled step. It would have been a flying forward. It would have been a clear deduction.
The leap and then the dance out of it sometimes kind of helps disguise those landings, which is smart. That's smart construction. The issue was that one of the judges went 10 for that routine, and then the other went 9.85. So that's how they got to the 9.925.
And the 9.85 was probably more accurate.
Yeah, or like 9.9, I would go, maybe. But like, yeah, a 10 from one judge again. Like, the judges were very 10 happy here, and it was...
And you know it's bad, too, when the commentators pointed out as well, because Kylie Dixon, Abood, I feel like she, I mean, she's an LSU alum, so I don't expect her to be, like, overly harsh or anything, but she will not often point out deductions. Like, she didn't point out Connor catching close on the pack or the church. Like, normally with the little deductions, the full turn for Connor on beam, she didn't point out. She did point out Aaliyah's first pass as a deduction. So then for one judge to go 10, it's like,
yeah.
Okay, well, at least she saw it this time. Like,
well, I was going to say, I was a little bit annoyed. I think I'm annoyed with commentators in general this season. Well, not just this season. It's been last season and the season before that probably as well. But commentators not calling out deductions is very frustrating. Especially when it's a commentator that's like on a national broadcast, a broadcast that, you know, a lot of people are watching. Like, Connor's beam is a great example. I think I remember her saying after that routine in particular that she didn't see where the deduction was, but there was an obvious wobble. And so I'm like, how are you saying that you don't know where the deduction
you
was?
You can tell.
Like, your job is to call that out.
I believe, wasn't the camera kind of zoomed in, but you could still
it
see it?
It was zoomed in, but you could tell, you could see in her shoulders that she wobbled, but you could also tell by your face. Like, yeah. I saw it in real time watching it. So I'm looking at the same thing they're looking at. So, I mean, yeah, it's just little things like that. I think what's frustrating about that is that it gives, not gymnastics fans, because gymnastics fans know, but it gives people who only follow one team the wrong impression. Because then that sets the expectation that that's what a perfect routine looks like, when that's not a perfect routine. You know what I mean?
Right.
The judges aren't, the commentators aren't calling it out, but the judges also aren't calling it out because they're not taking the deduction. And then you'll have people that are, like, you know, upset with, like, a 9.975 when it wasn't actually a 9.975, and they're like, why was it not a perfect 10? And it's like, did you not see the wobble? Did you not see the lean back? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just sets a false idea of what's actually like an excellent routine, what's a good routine, what's an okay routine. I think a lot of
outside fans. And when I say outside fans, again, I'm talking about people that are like more so fans of like a particular team and not, they don't actually watch gymnastics week in and week out. They'll think that a 9-8 is like a horrible score. When it's like a 9-8 is usually just a routine that was good and there was, you know, deductions taken for things like flexed feet, bent knees, close catches.
Catch closes.
That is the kind of routine that goes 9-8. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's not a bad routine. It's just...
Welcome to judging.
It's good. And there was deductions that were taken and that's fair. But then you have teams that are, you know, having mistakes that are going like 9.975 or 9.95 or 10.
From a judge.
And that's just... You guys know. Anyways, that's just my side rant from this LSU meet. But I want to give credit where credit's due because, like I said, I think LSU actually looked really, really good here. This should be a huge boost for their confidence going forward. They seem to finally be hitting their stride, and everyone's staying healthy for the most part. So, knock on wood, LSU is looking really good. Moving on to, I think, maybe what was one of the best... slash most exciting meets of this entire weekend was Kentucky at Bama. Kentucky got their first win over Bama in program history, and they did that at Bama with a 1.976. Bama got a 1.96.975. Hey guys, it's Brittany here in editing. I actually meant to say that it's the first time that Kentucky beat Bama at home, not like that they beat them in general for the first time. So I just wanted to clarify that. And we knew coming in that this was going to be likely a close meet. It was actually tied after the first rotation. But I think really after that, Kentucky really started to separate themselves. They were just lights out. And I think Bama gave away quite a bit. I think my summation of Bama overall this entire season is very like they're 50-50. They usually have three people in their lineups that are like 9-9 plus and it's great. And then they usually have three people in the lineups that are falling, wobbling, taking steps. You know, there's a lot of deductions that they're giving up.
Yeah.
And the other three routines, and that's consistent through every event for them.
I will say that I think Alabama is underperforming a little bit so far this season. Like, I had them, you know, in my head as a team that was not only in contention to make Final Four, but to potentially, you know, strive for the national title. Like, they have the talent on their team for sure. But I just feel like it's not quite yet, at least at this point in the season. We're only week 5 here, but...
Oh my God, there's still so much of season that has to happen.
I feel like we're just not seeing it materialize quite yet.
Yeah, I think some of the freshmen, maybe we expected a little bit more from... there's freshmen that we're not seeing on certain events. The freshmen that we are seeing on the events that we're seeing them aren't quite what they're capable of. Chloe LaCourcier has been amazing on bars. She was a little bit uncharacteristic this week. But in general, this season, she's been strong on bars. Her vault, she hasn't been able to find the landing, which is strange because I feel like in level 10, she actually was fairly consistent at that. And this preseason, we saw so many videos of her sticking cold, beautiful 1.5s. So that hasn't materialized yet. Jameson is only doing the full.
Which is beautiful.
It's a great full. She went 9-9. Her floor has been uncharacteristic. So, yeah, it's been interesting. I think they still have potential. There's still time for them to figure it out. Kind of similar vibes to how I feel about Florida, where it's like they're going to need some time to, like, build this team up. And not only get the confidence, but just get, like, the experience in their lineups from some of these new faces. But... it wasn't their best meet. And then I think Kentucky, on the other hand...
Kentucky is exceeding expectations, in my opinion.
Yeah, Kentucky is, I think at this point in time, and again, knock on wood, because I know there's a lot that has to happen this season, but Kentucky at this point in time is solidifying themselves as top two, I would say. You can maybe even argue number one at any given point, but like for sure top two in the SEC this season. They're ranked third in the nation.
Well, so they were going into this week, but now after week 5 they're ranked 5th.
Okay, but like that's significantly better than what they've done in years past. Raina Worley is finally getting the tens that she deserves.
Yeah, I think that now that they've finally done it, like the judges have given her a 10,
they're like,
they feel comfortable. Like, they broke open that door and they're like, okay, we can do this now,
which is so messed up because it shouldn't be that way, but that is totally how it is. Sometimes it's like a matter of perception. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think your ranking impacts how you're scored. And then
the second.
Also, if judges are willing to go 10 before, it opens up the door for everyone to know that a 10 is possible.
The second you have that label on you as the kind of gymnast that's capable of getting a 10, the judges will throw you a 10.
Yes.
But it's sometimes depending. I feel like judges are a little bit hesitant with a gymnast that hasn't gotten a 10 before, which it's dumb. It should not be that way at all, but it totally is.
They had to like break through that barrier.
Yeah, but they finally did in her fifth year for Raina Worley. So she's back-to-back 10s, which is amazing on floor.
And then Mackenzie Wilson also got a 10 last week on vault, so shout out to her. So that's 3 10s for Kentucky this
which,
season.
Which, by the way, those are the first 10s for Kentucky since former guest on the show, Jenny Hansen, who competed in the early 90s. So it's been a long time since we've seen a 10 at Kentucky.
A very long time. Like, not even in our lifetimes has Kentucky scored a 10. So.
Yeah, period.
Amazing. And the freshman, Creslin Brose, I know we've mentioned her before on the show, but she has been a consistency queen on floor. I don't think she's gone below 99 all season.
No, she hasn't.
And I think there was questions. I mean, we knew that she was good coming in, but like there was definitely question if she was going to be in that floor lineup because Kentucky is great on floor and they have so many options.
Yeah.
So to see her
like we had her I'm pretty sure. Well, I don't know. I think we may have had her in our lineup. If not, we were like
she was like the first person out.
On the fence with her. Like we knew she potentially could, but like I didn't expect her to be the consistent 99 plus girl.
Yeah, and she's second to last in this lineup right before Raina Worley. So she's the one setting Raina Worley up to go get these 10s. And she's been bringing in some big scores herself. She also stepped into the beam lineup.
Yeah.
So I've been really impressed with her. Delaney Rodriguez has been the consistent leadoff for them all season long. Just super unfazed in everything she does. Kaden Scormley, unfortunately, tore her ACL and she will be out for the remainder of the season. So that's disappointing because she was beautiful for them and I really thought she could have done big things for them.
She was only gonna make Kentucky that much better.
Yeah, but the fact that they lost her and they're still like slaying, oh my god, like amazing for them.
Yeah, very good.
And then I would say maybe the second best meet of the weekend, or maybe the best meet, honestly, depending on who you ask. The second best or the best meet of the weekend, Michigan versus Michigan State. MSU going 198. Actually, let me get the exact score up.
Of course, this is a big rivalry meet for...
This meet was huge.
Not only just like two teams in the state of Michigan, but in the Big Ten Conference. Like, this is a huge matchup.
So MSU got a 198.05 to Michigan's 197.625. So it was a really exciting meet. And I'm going to start by reading off everything that MSU achieved at this meet because they did not come to mess around this season. We warned you guys, did we not?
Yeah.
I am defensive about Michigan State because I feel like so many people, like they started rough. They had like a rough meet or two at the beginning of the season and everyone was like, you know, kind of like doubting them and questioning their ability to be a top team. And they came today on arguably one of the biggest days of the season for them. And in an environment where Michigan had almost a sellout crowd and all this alumni, and it was a pressure situation. The Big Ten regular season, you could say, could very well have been determined by this meet, depending on what happens. Huge yeah. opportunity for them. And they capitalized to the fullest extent.
Yeah, they rose to the occasion and were simply undeniable.
Yes.
At this meet.
Sage Kellerman got a 10 on vault, the second 10 of her career. When she sticks that vault, I mean, it has to go 10. It's so good. This was also MSU's highest road score in program history. Their first win in Ann Arbor since 1990. And then, you know, of course, they got that W. So a good day for Mike Rowe and the Spartans. I know they are thrilled with this performance. And what a boost for their confidence. There were so many points in this meet where they could have given something away.
Well, they had a fall on bars in the first rotation, the second person up.
Yeah. And they rallied behind that. Vol, we mentioned Sage Kellerman. You can usually count on her for a stick. And then Nikki Smith is kind of like 50-50. Like sometimes she sticks it and then sometimes she doesn't. So like you never know with that. So I think they could have given away more on Vol, but they didn't. They absolutely rose to the occasion on that event. And I think that's really what started to distance them from Michigan. Floor was great, and then beam absolutely lights out in that final rotation.
Yeah, like hardly a wobble. Honestly, this is one of the few teams this season that actually has scored a real 198 plus score.
Oh my god, totally. This was one of the most like well-rounded meets of the entire season for MSU. Michigan has areas they can improve, but like for MSU, like that was honestly almost as good as they can do it. I think they still would want some more stuck landings on vault, but really beam bars, I think they could be a little bit better too, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. But beam and floor was pretty much on par with like what they are capable of doing, and bars was not much far behind. So beam, they got a 49.6, floor was a 49.5, vault was a 49.575, and then bars was a 49.375. So I don't have anything else to say other than incredible day for them.
I saw your text messages coming up while we were recording. You should read your text message with Mike Rowe.
I said, congrats, y'all ate today. And he said, it's still not full. With a green heart, white heart, a muscle, like a flexing emoji, and then a dog. They are dogs, so we're happy for them. And excited for the rest of the season because it's going to be a battle. Because I also think Ohio State has really stepped it up this season. So, like, this is going to get really, really interesting.
Yeah, Big Ten is going to be good.
And it's at Michigan State. Ooh. It's going to be good.
Ready
it's
for good. It.
And then Michigan.
Michigan, I think, had a good day. Definitely not their best.
On Beam in particular, which is really a shame because yeah. I felt like the last 2 weeks, they were really, really great on Beam.
I think they really gave it away on Beam. But also perhaps a little bit on Vault as well with, you know, large steps forward on the landings. Didn't really get any sticks. Rayna was close, but...
Yeah, the issue with Michigan, I think, on Vault is... They have people in their lineup who can stick. I mean, they have four people in their lineup that were a part of that monstrous 99.75.10 fest from 2 years ago. So, you know, Reyna, Naomi, Gabby, Sierra, they've all stuck vaults this season. But the problem is they're not doing it in the same meet. You'll usually have like one of them stick a vault every meet and that's it, and then everybody else is like hopping or stepping, and so that's something that, you know, as we're nearing the halfway point of season, I think they're really gonna want to start focusing on in the gym, because they are, I think they have a high scoring potential in that event, but they are definitely giving away tents that they can't afford to do when they're going against a team like MSU or any of these other top teams when it comes down to Big Tens, regionals, nationals. So that's an area they're going to be looking to improve. I think Bars has been a weak event for them this season. I have to say, I was really happy with what they did on Bars. We saw a lot more attention to detail, I feel like. There was more stuck landings. There was more hit handstands. Mm-hmm. They seem to be getting like just a little bit better on that event every single week. It's not going to be, I think without Farah and Kaylin in, this is not going to be like a 49.5 plus bar rotation. It's just not going to be. But if they can keep it around like the 49.3 range, they actually went 49.4 this weekend, which was a season high for them in that event. If they can keep it somewhere in that range, I think they'll be fine. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's just getting those vault landings and then it's just hopefully getting people back into those lineups like Kaylin and Farah, because I think they have higher scoring potential. So I'm very eager to see them in the lineups. Paige Thaxton, I think we've mentioned this before on the podcast, she's in a boot.
Kaylin is now also in a boot.
Yeah, so we're hoping that that's not anything like major. Usually boots, if they're like standing and walking, usually is not anything serious. It's just like a couple week type thing.
Yeah, we'll try to get an update on Kaylin, but
yeah, we will update you guys as soon as we know more on that. But at the very least, Kaylin on Bars, I think she's crucial for this Michigan team. Also have to mention this massive 49.75 for Michigan on floor. They rallied. At that point, I think they were competing like they had nothing to lose because they didn't have anything to lose. Like going into the last rotation, Michigan needed Michigan State to basically counterfall or have like really wobbly routines. They basically needed to gain a 10th on every single routine. And so going in, we all knew that like, was it possible? Yeah. Was it likely? No.
But these were some of the best floor routines I've seen Michigan do.
Yes. Naomi Morrison and Jenna Mulligan in particular. We watch, obviously, every meet of theirs. And I truly think those were two of the best routines that I've ever seen them do in their careers.
Gabby Wilson got another 10.
Gabby Wilson got a 10. Yeah, it was a great, great rotation. Everybody had controlled landings. It was great. I had no complaints with it. So it was an exciting meet. So again, we want to say shout out to MSU. We love them. We're happy for them. And looking forward to Big Tens because I think we've been watching a lot of Ohio State, a lot of Michigan, a lot of Michigan State. Minnesota has been looking really good too. I really think that on that given day, it could be anyone's meet. It's going to be a battle. Like all four of those teams are going to have to show up and be on their A game to win. And we haven't had that in the Big Ten Conference for a while, I feel like. I mean, last year, I think a little bit with MSU, but it was still kind of expected that Michigan was going
to win. It was building a little bit, but this year it feels like it really is anyone's game.
Yes. And then the final meet that we kind of watched this weekend was Arizona at UCLA. And I say kind of watch because it kind of conflicted with Michigan, Michigan State.
So we really only watched the last rotation.
Yeah, and then like the last like two beam routines, I think. UCLA went 198.075. to Arizona's 196-525, UCLA really seems to be finding their groove, finally. And I felt like this meet, from what I saw, and then also from what I've heard, because I asked on X what people thought, like, is this meet real? Like, is this, you know, have they earned these scores? And people said, yeah, actually, in some cases, they felt like it was a little bit low. Like, some were high, some were low, but for the most part, it washed out, and it actually kind of ended up being, like, a accurately scored meet. So we love to see that. They went 49.375 on vault, 49.425 on bars, 49.525 on beam, which is amazing for them, and then a 49.75 on floor. I did think some of their floor scores, because that was what we, like, really watched and paid attention to, some of them were, like, a little bit high, like Selena going 9.975.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she, like, under-rotated her second pass.
And she always disguises it well, but, like, again, it kind of the whole rant.
But I saw that.
Like, right. It's what we literally just said with LSU. Like, there is a deduction. Like, you can see it.
I want to shout out Kaylin Rosen, though. I know she struggled a little bit on floor just to, like, hit every single pass. Mm-hmm. And she finally did it. She finally put it all together. And it's one of my favorite routines of the season, choreography-wise. So great to see her in the lineup and hitting and getting a good score.
And her vault has been looking better as well. I think she got a 9.9 last week. She didn't quite stick it, but it was like almost a stick. And then this week she had a small hop as well. So she really seems to be finding those landings, which UCLA needs on vault. You know, they don't have the full lineup of 10-0 start value. So the ones they do have, they really need to hit. Nia Reid also had the best vault that I've seen her do in a very long time. Like, for sure this season, but even during her time at Florida, she wasn't always known for sticking her vault. And the biggest issue that I've had with her vault is that she doesn't get a lot of height. Like, she gets a lot of distance, but her vault doesn't really go up at all. It just goes out. And then you have whatever deductions you usually take on her landing. So it hasn't quite been the score I think that they were, like, hoping it would be. But this weekend, it was spot on.
And UCLA now has climbed in the rankings and sits in eighth. So the Bruins are climbing. So wrapping up, we're going to finish with our question of the week. We had somebody ask how you can watch the LSU docuseries, which, in case you missed it, The Climb is back for season two.
And we loved season one.
And
it was amazing.
Yes, it was absolutely incredible. And you can watch that on LSU Gold. I forget exactly how much it is. Unfortunately, it is one of those things you had to pay to watch it.
But so if I remember correctly from last year, they make you basically sign up for a year and it's like almost $100.
Yeah, but the good thing is they're actually airing episodes on TV. So it's a little bit delayed. It's going to be quicker. If you want to watch it like right when it comes out, you have to have LSU Gold. But otherwise, if you're okay with waiting a little bit, you can catch the episodes like a week or so later.
Yeah, so they're airing on ESPNU. I believe this is every other Thursday for the most part. So episode 1 and 2 have already aired, but episode 3 will be airing on Thursday, February 15th. And then from there, I'll post the schedule in the show notes down below so you guys can look at this. But pretty much every other week on Thursdays I guess the time varies.
Later in the day.
Yeah, but some of these are 2 o'clock Central, so 3 o'clock Eastern. Mm-hmm. So it kind of depends. So just look at the schedule. Like I said, we'll have it in the show notes down below. Or just Google, like, The Climb ESPNU schedule and you'll find it that way.
Yeah, LSU posted it on their website, so.
But it's a way to watch it for free, so, I mean, you can't beat that. If you guys want to submit a question for Question of the Week, we always have a link to our anonymous submission form in the show notes down below. It's also always in our link tree, which is in the bio of all of our social media pages. We haven't done a Question of the Week in a couple weeks. We've been having some longer episodes. We've just been like, you know what? Like, we're not doing the Question of the Week. We're going to axe it. But we're back, and we're doing the Question of the Week again. So please submit some new exciting, fun questions for us to talk about and things you want us, you know, to elaborate more on. Any questions you can think of, we will start putting those back in at the end of every episode.
That does it for this week's episode. We hope you all enjoyed it. And as always, we want to say thank you to our lovely Patreon supporters for your continued support and helping to make the show possible.
We should have an episode out next week. That is the plan, at least. So we look forward to chatting with you all then.
Bye.
Bye.